And here we are Friday already for back to school at Coldwell. I don't know where the time goes, but we've been having so much fun that that just tends to be what happens. It goes by quickly. I want to thank TNT Auto, Schwederman Construction, and Rich Plumbing. Thank you to Enyard Interior Touch, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, and Cal Pharmacy. So we begin Friday as we're talking with Dan Holman, the middle school principal. Dan, good to see you again. All right, it's it's obviously it's been a couple years, and you know, since we've had a chance to talk with you, if you'd be so kind, share with us your background.
At Colder Exempt Village Schools. So I spent 3 years at Salina as their intermediate principal, and then I spent 1 year at Groveport Madison High School early in my career as a freshman history teacher. So I graduated from Ohio State back in the 90s. So it's been great. It's crazy that it's been 30 years already.
It does go by quick, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
What was OSU like in the 90s? Was it about like it is now? Did you guys party more? I mean, I bet it was fun back then.
Well, sure, it was fun. To be a Buckeye is always fun. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it's just as fun today.
That's right. Some things never change.
That's right. That's right.
It's funny when you talk about back in the 90s when it seems like it was so recent.
Yeah, right. I would agree with you. Like I said, time flies.
What kind of got you more toward the administration side of things as opposed to perhaps, in the classroom?
Sure. Yeah, I had a friend that I taught with probably early on in my career. And, I needed to get my master's degree. What am I going to get my master's degree in? And he said, hey, let's do administration. I'm like, oh, no, I don't ever want to be a principal. There's no way. He goes, I mean, you might someday. Why don't you just do it with me? So I thought about it, and he kind of talked me into it. So I did. So we went to Bowling Green State University for our admin degree, and that was probably I got that degree maybe in 2001, 2002, and then by 2012, I started my admin career. So yeah, didn't think I would be here, but here I am.
Is the principal position, not exactly what you thought it was going to be? Was it different than what you were expecting?
You really can't define that until you're in the position. It's like anything, when you go to school to be a teacher, you really don't know what it's like to be a teacher until you're actually a teacher and you have your own classroom. And I would say it's the same thing with the administration, you really don't know what it's going to be like until you get into it. And then you just kind of learn as you go because, instead of having a classroom of 20 kids, I have a building of 30 teachers, let's say, and I have 400 kids, and they become your classroom. So your classroom walls just widen up quite a bit, and you learn how to lead them rather than just 20 in the classroom. So it's, I can't say it's different than I thought it was going to be, but definitely you learn how to lead that many people at once.
Now for you, kind of a dual role, right? Because certainly you support teachers, staff,
absolutely,
et cetera, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I taught, like I said, for 15, 16 years, and the rest of the time has been in administration. But even throughout my teaching, I was in union leadership as well. I was the president of the union my last year here at Coldwater. So definitely supported the teachers and still support the teachers and understand the hard work they put in because it is tough. Teaching is a tough job, and I get that. And that's one thing I always told myself. I never want to forget what it's like to be a teacher in the classroom due to my new position here. And I have a little kind of poster on my desk that says just that, don't forget. So when I make my decisions, I'm remembering, oh, yeah, I was there too. Let's think about this a bit.
True. And what are some of the decisions, as an example, that you might have to make on the job?
Well, just your schedule, changing your schedule from year to year, trying to accommodate all your students. And sometimes that means teachers might have to change from this position to that position. You want to do it in the right manner. You don't always want to do it in a managerial way. You want to think of that human factor. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't because you can't be perfect, but you try to. You try to make sure you remember, how to do it in the best manner possible, as far as change goes. So any of those decisions with change, those are probably the most difficult because you're affecting other people's lives.
Yeah, and not stuff you're going to take lightly, right?
No, absolutely not. A lot of thought goes into those things.
How about also when you start a new school year, inevitably you're going to have some new teachers, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know, are you kind of paying special attention to them because you know this?
Absolutely.
That's like having that rookie in the lineup,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we're going through a lot of that here lately. You know, the staff that I grew up with and taught with and then left for a while and then came back, it was the same staff that I was leading, which made it a little bit difficult at the beginning because, you know, some of the staff members that were teacher friends are now I'm their boss, you know, so you have to kind of find that fine line there too. But a lot of those people that I so respect and that have done such a nice job and really do a lot for our school, they're retiring and they're leaving. So I do have a lot of new teachers coming in, you know, and you do. You try to take those teachers under your wing. You try to find a good person on the staff that can kind of take them under the wing, show them the ropes, check in with them, you know, give them feedback, help them out. So most definitely, you know, unlike a veteran who knows what's going on, not that you ignore those people because you definitely don't ignore them, but you can kind of let them go and let them fly a little bit more, you know.
Sure. And for you, I know we're going back, you know, some years on this, but do you remember your first day as a teacher when it really counted and that bell rang and all the kids were looking at you and you're thinking, oh, I guess I better teach them something, right?
I do. It was in Groveport Madison High School. I was a ninth grade history teacher. And I was so excited to have that position. But I do remember, you know, I was probably more nervous than they were standing in front of them and remembering that I have to, teach them, right? It's on me. It's
here
on
it
me.
Is,
here
right?
It is,
yeah,
right?
Here
so,
it is. So.
But it was exciting. You know, you have that fun energy and that new energy, and it's great. But, yeah, I'll never forget those first days.
I bet not. And what's neat about that is that when you tell a new teacher, I know how you feel. You do,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You absolutely do.
It's been a while. But I do. And you try not to forget. Like I said, just like anything, you try not to forget what they're going through because you were going through that too at one point.
And contrary to popular belief, your interaction with students, I am sure, is not limited to only when they get in trouble, right?
No. I mean, you don't want it to be that way. You know, you want to have a positive interaction with them. You never want it to be that the only time you're talking to them is when they're in trouble. So, you know, we do different things. We have different awards, different incentives, Cab Pride Awards, et cetera. You know, I get them pizza once a month for a few kids who get the Cab Pride Award, and you have those positive ways of interacting with them. But just being in the hallway and being visible, too. I go to recess every day. I'm at lunch every day. As the bell rings, I try to be in the hallway every day, talking to kids, you know, even asking, you know, if there was a sporting event the night before, how'd it go? Hey, great job. Things like that, just to really draw in that connection, because we all know that the relationships and the connection, that's the most important thing. And if you have that, things are going to be better for you. If you don't have that, it's going to be a really tough job.
Speaking of tough job, I mean, you've got middle school kids. So
yeah.
And that is exactly what they are. They're not elementary anymore. Not quite high school.
Right.
You know, they don't have that level of maturity.
Right,
so
right.
You probably get a wide range of topics, issues, and things you're trying to help them through, right?
Sure, absolutely. You know, these are the trying years for kids. And I tell parents that, too, because I think a lot of parents are nervous for their child when they enter the middle school. Because middle school is tough. And I would imagine if you asked people over time, what year would you like to go back to in school? They probably wouldn't say middle school.
Absolutely not.
They would say, I'll go to high school. I'll go to kindergarten, you know, but that fifth through eighth grade year. No, I don't want to go back to that, you know, but there's a lot of different things going on in their life. They're trying to find where they are in the pecking order. And, you know, and you try to, you know, smooth that out as best you can, that really there shouldn't be a pecking order, but it naturally happens in school and you try to teach them, you know, how to get along, how to be a good friend, how to just treat one another with respect, really just doing the right thing.
Yeah,
you know, just simply doing the right thing.
And I'm sure, again, if there is a discipline problem, perhaps you view it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's talk about what happened.
You got it.
Because, you know, you don't want to see me. I don't particularly want to see you like this.
Right.
So what can we do here, right?
Yeah. And that's all my discipline I do. You know, it's really about figuring out the why. You know, if they've done something wrong, okay, you've done this wrong, and okay, here's the consequence, but let's talk more. You know, why? Why are you acting this way? What's going on? And you really try to figure out how you can help that kid, because a lot of times it is a cry for help. It's seeking attention because maybe something else is not happening in their life, and you really try to figure that out for them and with them. And the last thing I tell the kids when they leave my office, if it's any type of discipline, is look, I don't hold a grudge against you, all right? you recognize you did something wrong, you're going to do better. Tomorrow when you walk in this building, it's a new day. And
absolutely.
You are the same kid, and you're moving forward, and we're not looking backwards. We're moving forward. So don't be afraid to say hi to me in the hall. Don't ignore me. You know, don't look down when I walk by, because I don't want that.
It's not like they're going to be in high school and you're going to say, hey, do you remember that time you threw a pencil in class or something? No, not at all.
Because I don't want anybody to do it to me, because God knows I was a middle school kid too one day.
I was as well.
People are going to judge me off my middle school years. Oh, boy.
Same here. I'm glad we had no social media in
you
those
got
days.
It. I am too.
But, you know, the other thing is, for them, I'm sure it's hard to see this because they're in the middle of it. But when we look back on those years now, I'm sure all the teachers or principals we got in trouble with expected these things, because they know that certain things are a part of growing up.
Oh,
you know, you're changing, you're feeling some stress.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, that's why there are at times, no matter where you go to school, there's always some bullying to contend with.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, kids go through a lot, like I said, and you know, no matter where you are, kids are kids. I mean, Colder kids, Salina kids, St. Henry kids, Columbus City kids are kids. They're all going through the same things, just at different levels, you know, depending upon their backgrounds or what's going on in their life. But, you know, the hope is that you can teach them and you can give them ways to cope and just to get better and realize that. And I tell this, I tell them this to the kids a lot too, that now is not forever. What you're going through now, this is not your forever. All right, it's going to get better. But it's hard for a kid at this age to see that, because they see now is forever. This is how it's always going to be. But we all grow up, and I'll give them examples of my life and say, look, I've been through this. I was right in your shoes. Look where I'm at now. You know, you can get through it, and, you know, you just keep on pushing them along. And generally, the greatest thing is you see them graduating, and they're successful. They're in college, or they have a great job, or whatever it is, and it's just good to see.
Yeah, for you, have you had that where some kids have come back and contacted you and said, hey, this is what I'm doing now. Thanks again. You're a great principal. I appreciate the advice you gave me, and so on, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I've had kids come to me and even apologize to me. Sorry about my behavior back then. I said, you're fine. We all grow up, but, you know, and they're a success now, you know. So it's really cool to see that. That just that relationship that developed over time.
And I think also when you strike that right balance of certainly some accountability, but also some kindness,
right?
You're going to do a lot more than, you know, if you just yell at them
you
know?
You got it. Every kid needs a champion, and that's kind of how I see it. You know, every kid needs someone to be rooting for them, even when they're at their lowest and they're really messing up or they're just not going through good times. They need a champion, too. And you try to be that person. As a teacher, I encourage my educators, my teachers in the building to be that person, be that kid's champion. Or if it's me, myself, or my counselor, Sue Lovell, she's absolutely awesome. We tag team quite a bit working together with kids. You know, trying to just do that, be their champion.
Yeah, and speaking of, these students, we have Denise Peterson and Sherlock Holmes is going to be on, and obviously all these kids were once under your tutelage, right?
Yeah, they were. Yes, they were. And you know what? They're doing that, you know, now, and back in middle school, they were our stars on the stage too. So it's really cool to see.
I think is there going to be a Frozen Junior? That's being done.
Yeah, the fourth and fifth grade will be doing Frozen Junior here coming in November. So that's going to be awesome to see. Yeah. And see them go through the middle school drama and then into high school.
Yeah, tell you what, if you want to be on the stage or be in this stuff, Coldwater is a great district for it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our drama program is phenomenal. Denise Peterson does a fabulous job. The kids love it. And how they get them their parts, you know, they nail it every time.
They do.
You know,
you
see it and it's like, that's perfect, you know.
It's amazing local talent you
yes,
have.
Yes, we do. A lot of great talent.
I thank you for dropping by. Time always goes by so quickly when we do this.
Absolutely.
So good to catch up with you
again.
Absolutely.
Thank you too. Hey, thanks, Kevin.
We are back to school at Coldwater with Denise Peterson again. And Denise is here to talk about the cast and the production of Sherlock Holmes. So, Denise, first of all, we're going to be at it Thursday, the 23rd. 7 p.m. Saturday, you got 8 p.m., then your Sunday matinee at 4. Obviously, we can get into tickets and how to get that, as we go on. But this is Sherlock Holmes and the Baker Street Irregulars. I thought we would talk briefly about what this story is about, because when we say Sherlock Holmes, he's such a well-known character,
right.
It could be anything, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
Let's hear about this.
So Basically, the Baker Street Irregulars show up at Sherlock's house. I'm not really going to go into why they end up showing up there, because it kind of gives away a little bit. I don't want any spoilers. But they show up there because they're going to help solve a crime for Sherlock, basically, and for Watson. So they come in, and they end up introducing themselves to Watson, because Watson kind of forgets about who they are. And they go out, and they're solving. It's kind of a mystery within a mystery within a mystery. So it's a great show. I have the sound booth guys. They added some music to it for, like, the scene changes and just some other sound effects and things like that. So that really adds a lot to it. But it is a play, so there's not any singing in it. It's all, you know, spoken dialogue. But I think the audience is really going to like it. It's set in 1890 in London. It's, you know, a typical Sherlock kind of show. It's just you may not see Sherlock the whole time.
All right. Will everyone have an English accent?
No.
Okay. Just wondering there, you know.
Accents are a little rough sometimes, you
yes,
know.
Yes, they are.
But keep them consistent the whole show, so.
Yeah, ask Dick Van Dyke how an English accent can go badly, right?
Yes.
He would know. So, you know, you brought performers with you, and I want to get going on them because I know some of them have other commitments.
Yes.
So we have behind you there, I see our very first cast member. And can you share with us your name and who you're going to play?
My name's Nora Wertheim. My character is Ash in the show.
All right. First of all, Nora, good to see you again. We remember you. You were on at least a couple times the last time we were here. Are you a senior now?
Yeah, I am.
I thought you would be. Can you tell us about your character and what the appeal is for you?
Yeah, so Ash is just this little girl who, she's very energetic. I think she's 9, and she also loves fireplaces, chimneys, just being where she's not supposed to be.
Okay, that does sound like a lot of fun, being somewhere you're not, you know, supposed to be. So went with this character, was this one you went for, or did you read and Mrs. Peterson kind of gave you this part? Or
I kind of just went in generalized. I didn't really care what I got, and then she just thought I was fitting for the role, I guess.
All right. For you, how many other roles have you done besides this one? Because I know you've been in quite a few, right?
Yes, I've done every show since fourth grade. So I don't even know how many that is at this point. But, yeah, so one per year since fourth grade.
Excellent. For you, what are your plans after high school when your senior year has ended?
I'm planning on attending Ball State for architecture.
Excellent. All right. What made you pick architecture for a field?
So my mother is the CFO of Fanning Howie and Celina. And so being an architecture engineering firm, I just always saw it growing up. So it intrigued me.
That's really neat. Good for you. Good to hear that. And our next performer, if you can tell us who you are and who you're going to play.
My name is Ava Dahl. I'm Eliza.
All right. So this character of Eliza, what can you tell us about Eliza?
She's a teenage girl. She loses her grandfather, and they need to find him. But then the irregulars take her in, and they solve cases.
All right. To get ready for this role, what did you have to do in terms of costume, et cetera, things like that?
Most of my costume was provided by Drama. But, yeah, I provided, like, the shoes and most of that.
Excellent. So for you, how many other presentations have you done besides this one?
I started freshman year, and so one every year.
All right. What are some of the other plays you've been in?
I was in Into the Woods, Little Mermaid, and Clue, and then Newsies.
All right. Now, Newsies was the one that the cast seemed to have a lot of fun with that one. Like, they really wanted to do that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Clue, when you got to do that one, had you seen the Clue movie before you did the?
Oh yeah, I love Clue.
Isn't that? I really got a kick out of that, and it's neat when you watch it at home because they run all the endings. But back in the day, because I'm old, when the movie came out, they actually would have it in like 5 different individual theaters, and you had to pick which ending you were going to go see.
Yeah.
I think it's better to just watch them all. What do you think?
I like seeing them.
Me too. After school's over, what are your future plans from here?
I hopefully will be going to UC DAP for industrial design.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Good talking to you. Thank you. And good luck. I want to say that. So we'll move on here to meet our next performer for Sherlock Holmes and the Baker Street Irregulars. Share with us your name. What grade are you in?
Oh, my name is Kai Bem, and I'm a senior.
And senior. And what role will you be playing?
Watson.
All right. Before you took that role, did you know anything about Sherlock Holmes yet?
Yeah, I had some prior knowledge.
Okay. Yeah. So you know obviously a bit about how Watson is kind of his right-hand man, et cetera. Sometimes a helper. Sometimes he kind of gets in the way a little, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Were you excited to get that part?
Yes. That was the role that I was going for.
That has to be pretty satisfying, right?
It was very
What appealed to you about Watson?
I just like that he's Sherlock Holmes' like right-hand man.
Now, for costumes, what do you do to look like Watson?
Some of my costume is provided by Drama, like my vest and my hat. I also wear a button-down and some slacks.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. And for you, had you ever done any other productions besides this one?
Yes, I've done almost every production since high school started, besides the production my sophomore year.
Excellent. What are your future plans after high school?
I plan on attending BGSU for business analytics.
All right. What made you pick Bowling Green?
I know a lot of people who go there, and it's a really great school for business.
Yeah, very nice campus, too. Very nice city, if you've seen that already. And best of all, not really that far away either. So I would say good choice.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Now we're going to meet our next performer. What's your name and who do you play?
I'm Colton Tevi, and I play Sherlock Holmes.
All right, so we have our Sherlock. Tell you what, Tucker, I'm going to have you move a little closer to the mic if you could so we can really hear you. Perfect. As we have our Sherlock, for you, did you intentionally try out to be Sherlock?
I did not.
Okay, so that must have been pretty exciting to be told you want to be Sherlock.
Oh, it was super exciting.
Did you know much about the Sherlock Holmes character before this, or...?
I just knew he was a detective. I never knew he was that big.
Yeah. Had you done anything else besides this when you tried out?
I did a couple of the middle school shows.
Okay, that sounds good. For Sherlock Holmes, what did you do to get into costume? I imagine you need the right hats, right? Yeah. We remember how he looks, right?
Mm-hmm. I just have my slacks and my vest, my hat. They were mostly provided by Drama, then the white button-up and suspenders.
Are they letting you actually have a pipe as a prop or no?
They are.
Oh, good. Okay. We have an authentic Sherlock, right?
Yes, sir.
Very nice. And for those who may have forgotten about, how Sherlock Holmes was, I know he's a detective. Is he also a bit of a kind of a goofy character that sometimes he bumbles and stumbles while he's trying to solve a case, or?
I fear he's more serious. More of like Watson's job to be like the quirky sidekick.
I seem to remember. It depends on how you play him. Sometimes he can be silly, but usually he would drop the words of wisdom along the way, right?
Yeah.
Pretty exciting for you. All right. And you get to be Sherlock, I guess, three times, right? You got three shows you're doing. That's right, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Good for you. What are your plans after school when you're done?
I have, no clue. I'm a freshman. I just, started.
Okay. That's all right. You got time to figure it out yet. Good for you. Thank you so much. And on to the next performer for Sherlock Holmes, the Baker Street Irregulars. Share with us, what's your name? Who do you play?
My name is Whitney Godwin, and I play Tiny.
Okay, so what is it about Tiny that we're going to learn about? What kind of character Tiny is?
Well, Tiny is kind of funny because he is described as this big, broad guy, and I'm obviously not a big, broad guy. He's a little shy, but yet, bigger and protective.
Okay. What's your costume going to be like? What are you going to do to make it look like you're a shy guy in the 1890s?
I have slacks, a button-up, and suspenders with a hat, and this really beaten-up blazer almost.
All right. Sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Had you done any other things besides this?
I've been in a couple of the high school shows previously.
All right. And are you a senior?
Yes.
You are a senior. So for you, when school comes to an end next year, what are your future plans?
I think I'm going to go and major in early childhood education and minor in psychology.
Okay. Have you picked a school yet?
I have not.
I can understand. What are some you've gone to look at?
There's just been a few.
All right. You got time yet. We'll let you do that. Thank you. All right. Let's meet our next performer. Share with us who you are and who you're going to play.
Hi, I'm Audrey Alec, and I'm playing the role of Pockets.
Okay, so when you're not running track, you like being on stage, right?
Yes.
That's great. All right. How did you get this role? What is it about this character that appealed to you?
Well, honestly, just looking at the roles for the show, Pockets very much resembles my own personality, I'd say. She's very mature, she's very level-headed, and she likes to take charge.
Excellent. Had you done any other roles besides this one?
Yes, I've been in drama club since fourth grade. I've been Small Alice, I've been Grace from Newsies, I've been Glinda from Wizard of Oz, and other roles too.
Best of all, Glinda was the good witch, right?
Yes.
You're not the one that gets a house dropped on you or whatever, so that's really neat. And, for you, I'm sure, even though you've done other productions, is there still some of that opening night jitters that you go through?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't think of a single show where I wasn't nervous.
Yeah, but that seems to be part of the experience, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. You get over it pretty quickly once the show starts.
There you have it. Well, I want to thank you for dropping by. Good to see you again. Tell your folks
you
said hi, and we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and meet another cast member and a couple more. We'll talk with Mrs. Peterson again as well as we continue. I want to thank Ray's Refrigeration, Lovix Jewelry, and Cal Pharmacy, along with Rich Plumbing, and we'll return. Coldwater Back to School, 96.7 The Wave. And so after a little break, we're back here at the Coldwater Schools. Back to school for this week, courtesy of Mix Sports and Ernst Apparel, Ray's Refrigeration, Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf, and Lovix Jewelry. And we're continuing our conversation with the cast for the Coldwater High School drama Sherlock Holmes, the Baker Street Irregulars, that will open coming Thursday, the 23rd at 7. Then they're back at it Saturday night, the 25th at 8. Sunday, the 26th at 4. Presale tickets, $8 for adults, $7 for students, or $10 at the door. And so let's continue talking to our cast for Sherlock Holmes. Let's share with us your name and who you play.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Simper, and I play Chen.
Chen, okay, so how about this character? How does your character figure into the story?
So I'm one of the irregulars. I essentially invent a lot of stuff. I run around with a bunch of different gadgets. I have a rocket. That's fun. It's really neat to play. It's a fun role.
It sounds like it is. Now, are you going to kind of change your appearance, try to look more like the character? Like, well, how's your costume?
So I have a pair of goggles. They're really big. They're kind of steampunk-like. I also have a big hat, a vest. I have a utility belt with some stuff in it, and also a duffel bag that I keep a lot of stuff in it as well.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Do you get a lot of time on stage with this one?
I do. It's one of the biggest roles that I've had overall. I'm on stage pretty often with everyone. It's fun.
Excellent. For you, when you're done with school, what are you going to do in the future? What are we going to see you up to?
So in the future, I plan to go to college and get my master's in school psychology. When I'm in college, I hope to continue my extracurriculars, like joining a choir, doing plays if the college does them.
Yeah, there's always some kind of community theater, no matter where you live. Somebody's doing something. So you'll be able to continue, right?
Yep.
Good for you. Thank you. Let's meet our next performer. Tell us your name and who you play.
Hi, my name is Dylan Evers. I play the character Wiggins.
And so what about Wiggins? What's he like? What's he about?
He's the leader of the irregulars. I'm on stage quite a bit. He's kind of your average 1890s teenager. He's just leading the crimes, trying to figure out who's committing the crimes and taking over for Sherlock.
Okay, I was going to say your typical 1890s teenager. I'll take your word for it because I'm not that old, right?
Right.
For you, when this is over, have you done other plays, and what are your plans in the future?
Oh, yeah, I've done plenty of other plays all throughout middle school, basically. I took a break freshman, sophomore year, and now I'm back into it. Really love doing the plays and have a great friend group to go along with it. I do plan on going to a Bible college for my church called Destiny School of Ministry after I graduate. And then I'm going to go to UNOH for sports marketing. and management.
Okay, so when all this kind of said and done here, is that going to be kind of your career? How will the Bible College kind of factor into that?
So, yeah, I really want to grow in my faith before I go out into the world, and then I'll go to college just with a great faith base before I enter the world.
Excellent. All right. And if nothing else, you'll have that education. You could probably do something with that too, right?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Pleasure being
all
here.
All right. And then I believe also we have another performer I see in the background here. Tell us who you are and who you're going to play.
Well, my name is Eddie Obringer, and I'm playing the villain in this upcoming show.
Oh, boy. This will be a lot of fun. You look like you would be good in that role. I'm not trying to call you a villain, but you just look like you've been cast well, like you're going to do a good job. So tell us about this villain, if you would.
Well, he has run-ins with Sherlock and the Irregulars throughout the whole show, and he's just a little mysterious, and there's a lot of mystery around this guy.
Cool. Now, have you ever played a villain before?
Yes. Last year, I played Pulitzer in Newsies, which was the main villain there.
Not that I've ever had the talent to perform like that, but if I did, I'm sure I would want to be the villain because they're so important, and if you're not on the screen or the stage, they're either talking about you or probably thinking about you because you're so important, right?
Yeah. It's a really fun part to play because you kind of get to throw away all that, oh, got to be like, I got to do this. Like, no, you're the villain. You could go out there and be mean and be a villain.
It's your job, right? Yeah, I'm sure it's like for any actor, it's probably a supreme compliment when people say things like, oh, I hated you in that movie or that show, right?
Yeah.
It just means, well, thank you. I'm doing my job. So good for you. What are your future plans?
I plan on attending The Ohio State University to major in integrated social studies education and become a history teacher.
All right. Good for you.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we got Mrs. Peterson here again. And for you now, we've kind of talked in the past how you kind of get a kit, you know, to do these shows. You kind of mentioned there's not really any song. So how did you get this? Is this something that became available and you bought the rights to do it?
So I asked the current seniors when they were juniors last year. In the fall, we either do a cabaret or we do a play. And they wanted to do a play, which we've been alternating that. So that made sense. So I researched and looked and went to a couple publishing companies that do mainly plays. And that's where I found this one. So basically, I have to buy a minimum number of books, which is the script. And then I buy the licensing and the rights and all of that because they all come with, you know, they have to make their money that way. And then that's how that all came about.
Excellent. It's kind of neat that you did kind of let the class call the shots, right?
Yes. I try to do that for the fall. I like to have the seniors kind of, you know, run things. It's harder with a play because, you know, Rihanna and I pretty much have to kind of call the shots most of it. But, you know, the seniors are the leaders for the year. And so we let them have as much say as we can let them have.
Is it hard to see some of these seniors go?
It always is.
You're really saying goodbye, right?
Yeah, every year it's really hard to say goodbye to the seniors. You know, I'm to the point where I've had them as students since kindergarten. So it's even more of a, you know, kind of hard to say goodbye because of that aspect. Because I've known them, you know, for 13 years.
Yeah, that's wild when you put it that way, isn't it? And for people, we'll remind them, your showtime's Thursday, 23rd, 7 p.m., Saturday, 25th at 8. Sunday, the 26th, is your matinee. It's, 4 p.m. Either from you or the high school office, $8 for adults, $7 for students, or $10 at the door. And the cool thing about that is just people understand y'all are not trying to make money on these tickets. This just helps pay for everything.
Yes, this pays for all the, you know, the paint going into the sets, any of the building of the sets that we have to do, buying the licensing and the rights. All of that goes into it. You know, the spring show is always a lot more expensive than the fall show is. So every little bit helps even towards that show because we usually spend a lot of money. You know, it helps with the props. It helps with, you know, everything that, you know, goes into a show.
And also, I know you have people you like to thank. I mean, the parents of your cast that bring the cupcakes and cookies.
Yes.
Got to have those. Rooster Joe helps you out with the coffee.
Yes, they donate every year.
Can't imagine you could do a production like this without a lot of coffee.
Yes, we like to have the coffee there for the fall show, and Joe at Rooster Joe is always so willing to donate, and you know, he just helps us out, and it's just so awesome that he does that for us.
And obviously somebody's got to do the shirts, right?
Yes, made in Salina. We have our shirts made there.
Okay, perfect. Very nice. Because that's huge. Not only is it like a souvenir of what they did, but when they wear them around, they're letting everybody know this is the next show.
Yes, and it's awesome. And these ones, like the color, I wasn't so sure about the color, but they're like really awesome. I'm really liking these ones.
So I gotta ask: have students and or even staff members complimented you on your incredible tattoo sleeve you have on your arm, which is all the performances you've ever done?
Yes. I've had quite a few teachers say something. The students will be like, "You have a lot of tattoos, Mrs. Peterson." And then I explain to them what they are, and they're like, "Oh, that's really awesome," you know.
It is.
But yeah, I have, and parents.
I think a lot of times if you see someone with a tattoo and you compliment them and then you ask them why they got it, I think every tattoo is a story.
Yes.
You know, and honestly, some of them, occasionally they might say, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. That happens, yes, but a lot of times there's definitely meaning to it.
Yes, and every one I have, every single one of them has a meaning to it.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And, you know, I've been doing this is, like I said on Tuesday, this is my 31st year, so we're winding things down a little bit, so I'm like, I need to start doing some things to kind of commemorate the time that I've had, and so this was one of them. I have another one that's going to come as well.
Oh, we'll stand by for that. Yeah. we'll check that out next time we have you on. And that, is that going to be soon? I can't remember if we set something up.
Are
we
November, for November? Yeah. November 3rd.
Yeah, that's for Frozen, right?
Frozen, yep.
Okay, very good. So, and it's always good to catch up with you. This was a lot of fun. We pretty much got in a full half hour, and I think a lot more cast members than we usually get, right?
Yeah, I had like 9 lined up.
So yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a lot of fun. It's kind of neat. We do enough of these shows, I remember some of these actors.
Yeah,
you have,
exactly.
So
they've been in like every show since, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So, again, I also want to thank Loddox Jewelry, Playmore Lanes, and also Adventure Golf, Mick Sports and Ernst Apparel, and Ray's Refrigeration. And so we are back to school from Coldwater. We're in the cafeteria, which you can certainly hear. Everybody's in a good mood. Wouldn't you be if you're getting lunch, right? We're going to switch gears and talk girls' seventh grade volleyball with Coach Angie Rolfus and a couple of her players. First, I want to thank TNT Auto, Sweeterman Construction, Rich Plumbing, and Enyard Interior Touch. So, Coach, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
If you would be so kind, let's hear about you. Where did you come from originally, and what got you into the education business?
Well, I'm from Salina originally. I went to Eastern Michigan University.
Yeah, in Ypsilanti.
Yep,
right? Yeah.
Yep, great place. And I originally wanted to become a general ed teacher, but then once I started field experience, I actually was gravitating towards the kids that needed more help. So I actually teach special education, kindergarten, first and third grade this year.
Excellent. And what kind of drew you to volleyball?
So I played volleyball when I was in high school, and I actually played for Doug Mayer. He was the varsity coach when I was a freshman. And then he actually left before I had gotten up there. So, yeah.
All right. And so you brought a couple of your players with you, I understand, right?
Did.
And before we talk to them, remind people, too, how important this is, because not only are they, you know, playing for you and learning their skills and having a good time, you're hopefully getting them ready for the varsity someday, right?
For sure.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So share with us, what's your name?
My name's Kendra Collard.
And Kendra, what drew you to the sport of volleyball? What do you like about it?
I like the team building and mostly just like the playing time that you get and the culture of the family.
And how long have you been playing?
For like 3 years now.
3 years, okay. You feel you've gotten better in that time?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have, right? Coach says yes.
Yes, so yes she has.
What are some of the ways you've been able to get better? Like when you first started, were there a few things that you would try to do that just didn't go very well and now they're getting better?
My setting has gotten a lot better. I'm now the starting setter for the seventh grade team. And passing, I feel like I've gotten a lot better at passing, just doing those little skills to get better. And also hitting, it's really, you can really work on your swing and snapping your wrist.
Nice, very nice. All right. So I'm sure someday you want to continue playing when you get to high school?
Yes, I do.
I'm sure you will. Have you also thought about, the future? I know seventh grade is hard to know the rest of your life, but have you ever thought about what you want to do someday?
I want to play volleyball through high school and then maybe play volleyball in college.
Okay, there you go. Very, very good. Appreciate that. Let's, we're going to move on. We're going to meet another player here as we'll give them time to kind of switch seats here and share with us. What's your name?
My name is Kendall Rolfes.
Okay, Kendall. And any relation to the coach?
Yeah, I'm her daughter.
I figured as much, but, we never want to guess. So, first of all, what got you into the game? Did mom say you're playing volleyball? Is that how that worked? Okay.
No, that's not true. He said, how did you become wanting to play volleyball? So my mom always, wanted me to play volleyball, but I never wanted to because I didn't really like it. And so one time she asked me if I wanted to go to a camp, and I said sure. So, yeah.
Volleyball camp, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
very nice.
These two were also managers for the varsity team last year.
Okay,
and just
very
seeing
cool.
them go to state. And
so you want to do that someday, right?
I got excited.
Yeah. What is it about the game you like so much?
Well, I really like how the team bonds and, how the communication is on the court. And I really like how everyone has, an uplifting, word. So.
Yeah. And as far as, when you're actually playing the game, what's your position and what are some ways you've gotten better since you started?
I play all around. So I'm really good at, passing and hitting. So those are, my main two main things.
And for you, not to put you on the spot, but what is it like having mom for a coach? Because I can imagine that in a lot of ways it'd be an awful lot of fun,
At the start of the season, I didn't really like it, but as it grew on me, because she's always there for games and everything.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, especially since we have mom right here, the other really neat thing is, it's just more time you get to spend with her, right? And,
yes,
and when,
yes.
when they've grown up, I mean, that's when you realize there was never enough of that, right?
Right, yes. It's priceless.
It really is. Now for you, in the time you've been coaching, what are some of the places that you've gotten to play? Some of the experiences for the team,
locally?
That you've been able to go? Yeah.
Yeah, so the furthest is probably Delphus. We went to Delphus St. John, and we played there. And we don't always play MAC teams, so that's pretty neat. We get to see some WBL teams as well. So we've traveled around the state.
Yeah, so that'd be Salina?
Salina.
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, New Bremen.
Yeah.
Yep. Lincoln View, went to Lincoln View. Delphus, New Bremen, Marion.
Yeah.
There's a lot, St. Henry.
Yeah, there are quite a few. A lot of neat gyms you get to be in too,
yes.
right?
Yes, yep. Yeah.
All right.
I've never seen.
For your volleyball season, when does it typically get started?
We're doing open gyms in July.
Okay.
So those are not mandatory. And if you want to come hit around, pass, and just get some playing time in, those start in July. But the actual season starts in August when we start.
In general, how much practice do you do during that season if you're not playing?
If we're not playing... We usually have games 3 days a week, sometimes 2 days a week, so we're not getting a lot of time once the games start, so about three days, 2 days a week.
Also, for the JV level, are the rules any different or are they the same?
They're about the same, just in the game, they're a little bit different, so they play five sets, we play three sets, so, yeah.
Okay, same points and everything, right?
Yeah.
And... And also, I'm sure you're also working with them. Some of the fundamentals, a lot of people don't know this. You get, three hits before it's got to go over the net, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure, again, since they haven't been playing that long, whether it's practice or games, you might have to remind them of stuff like that, right?
Oh, yeah. So there's lots of different terminology. And our girls learned a 6-2, which is we have two setters, and then we have four hitters, or we have six people, two setters.
So that was a little different for them to learn. They hadn't learned that this year, so they made progress in that. And yes, Kendra was our setter, and Kendall was a good hitter passer. So just the camaraderie on the team and the energy that they brought was a great season.
I think there's also much more urgency if you're only playing three sets.
Yes,
if you lose that first set, you got a problem now.
Yeah. You have to really pick each other up and bring the energy back up and just worry about and control what's on your side of the court. Not really worry about what the other team's doing and just know that you got to think and just do it.
Yeah.
No thinking, just do it.
And if you had, matches where you did lose that first set and then came back and won, right?
Yes, we have. Yeah. We've had a couple games where it's just such a thriller, and it's just so fun to feel that energy and then pull out a win at the end.
Yeah. Because the good thing about that, of course, is if you get into a situation where you've lost the first set, you can tell the team, hey, now you've done this before, don't despair, right?
Yeah. Bribes work at this age too.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did some donuts and cookies.
Yeah.
If we play hard and we communicate, you'll get some donuts.
I tell you what, I'm all about bribes
right?
like that. Some you just got to do what you got to do.
Sometimes.
And so, that's pretty neat. And for you, if you're not playing volleyball, you did say you are a teacher, right?
Yes.
Remind us what you teach again.
I am an intervention specialist for K to 4. Yeah.
And so, an intervention specialist, you're the person that's kind of brought in if there are some problems. Is that the idea?
Yep. If they have some academic or behavioral concerns, then I help the teachers in the classroom with ideas or other things to help meet those kids at their level.
So, and I think what the first thing I thought of is how positive that sounds, they won't be left behind, but
right. Maybe
we also acknowledge that classroom setting or learning that way, not necessarily for everyone, right?
Right, yeah, it's very rewarding to see them grow. They might grow slower or progress slower, but they do grow, and it's rewarding to see.
You sometimes have to remind them as they get to meet you that say this is our intervention specialist, that you have to remind them that hey, you're not in trouble, right? This is I'm here to work with you. You're not in trouble, right?
Yeah, they're always willing to have the help. I think they're always just asking, how can I do this better, and how can I make progress.
And for some people, they're able to get through school. There aren't any issues. Then there's other students. I may have known a few who were perpetually unorganized. It overwhelmed them quickly because there's a lot,
There is, yes. And we just help get them through and use tools to help them learn those skills.
And some of those tools, are those kind of like adaptive, reading kind of device, things like that?
Yeah, yes. Combinations that we can make that they can bring them up to the other students' level. Yeah.
Once that happens, are you kind of able to just let them go from there while reminding them that you're always here if they need you, right?
Yeah, it just depends on the level of the student, yeah.
All right, very nice. So I want to thank all of you. And I told you it wouldn't be so bad being on the radio, right? Nothing to it. Nothing to it at all. So outstanding. So thanks again, Coach Rolfes and players. I want to also thank Lovitz Jewelry and Cal Pharmacy, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, and Enyart's Interior Touch. Quick break, and we're going to talk with someone who I know has got to be very popular because she runs a cafeteria. Mrs. Arns will be here as we continue. Coldwater Back to School. And so we're back here, back to school in Coldwater. Thank you to Calp Pharmacy, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, Enyart Interior Touch, TNT Auto, along with McSports and Ernst Apparel. In a moment, we'll meet Ashley Arns, who runs the cafeteria here. In the meantime, I got a couple young men here that have dropped by to say hi. First of all, tell us your name as if we didn't know, and what brings you here today?
I'm Dominic Selhorst, and my dad said I could get interviewed.
Yes, you can. So share with us, what grade are you in now?
Seventh
grade. How'd that happen? So quick, right? That's good. Good for you. What do you enjoy most about going to school? I know you love football, right?
Yeah. I also love being able to go to different classes instead of just staying in the one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember when you got into the middle school, you didn't have to stay in one room all day. Yeah. Good point. When you play football, what position do you play out there?
I play right guard on the O-line and middle linebacker.
Do you want to keep playing all through high school, too?
Yeah.
All right. How'd you guys do this year?
I'd say pretty good for our first year. This year was our learning year.
Okay. Sounds good. What kind of stuff do you like besides football? Are you a gamer?
Yeah, I play some games.
Do you? Okay.
I also love bowling.
Bowling?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I think I know where that came from. Yeah. Now, for you, someday, you know, I know you're in seventh grade right now, but have you ever thought about what you want to do in the future someday?
Either work at the radio station or become a doctor.
Okay. You can do both. You can tell your patients, wait a minute, I got to be on the air, but I'll come back and take care of you in a minute. So, good for you. Good to meet you. And now we also have another gentleman here to talk to us. What's your name?
I'm Adam Moeller.
Adam, what grade are you in? Seventh?
Seventh.
Seventh. Adam, what are some of the things you're involved in here in school? Some of your favorite things. Do you play football also?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you play?
I play right guard and nose guard.
Nose guard. All right. What else do you do besides football?
I do bowling and baseball.
Bowling and baseball. All right. An all-around athlete. So what are some of your favorite subjects in school?
Math and science.
Math and science. You know, if math and science are what you're into, there's an awful lot of good careers you can have if you're good at math and science. Good for you. So what did you think? Did you stay up and watch that football game last night?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's pretty exciting, wasn't it, huh?
Yeah.
It's hard to put a hand on this, but it just seemed like Joe Flacco really wanted to win that game, didn't he?
Yeah, he played good.
He's played for, obviously, the Bengals now, Cleveland and Baltimore. Yeah, I think he probably has a pretty intense dislike of Pittsburgh by now, right?
Yeah.
He's playing on all their rivals. So, hey, good for you. Thanks, you guys, for stopping by. Nice to see you. So now we're going to speak with Ashley Arns, who runs the school cafeteria here. And, we have, Ashley, did you bring speakers with you here?
Yes, I
okay,
did.
Come on down. Come on in here. So tell us who we're going to meet, and we'll take it from there.
I'm Lainey.
Okay, Lainey, share with us also, if you would. We'll got those headphones for you there that we'll pass so you can hear us. Kind of talk with us about, what you do here at school, what grade you're in, and what it's all about.
I'm in seventh grade, and in the Healthy Snack Club, we just talk about all of the different things that you can eat to be like a healthy athlete and just a healthy person in general. Like, we made apple donuts at our last meeting. Like, you just cut up an apple in a donut shape, and then you put a bunch of toppings on it.
Do you have any of those as an example?
No.
Oh, darn. Okay. It couldn't hurt to ask, right? That sounds really good, actually. And you're right. Obviously, sometimes it's hard. It's tempting to bulk up on a lot of sugar and junk food. But if you want to be an athlete, you're going to pay for that later, aren't you? You're not going to feel good, right?
Yes.
What for you? What do you try to get into your own diet to help you be more athletic and healthy?
Well, I do cross country, so I go on a run every day. And normally I try and drink about 3 full water bottles a day to stay hydrated.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, so your body's kind of like a machine, right? It's your vessel for you to do the things you want. You got to take care of it.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah. Give it a tune-up, if you would. So, excellent. What are some of your favorite things to eat besides apple donuts?
My favorite is, I like to cut up Honeycrisp apples and sharp cheddar cheese. That's some of my favorites. And, really crunchy green grapes, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a grape guy myself. Yeah. I hear you. So, very good. Appreciate that. Now, we also have with you, you're in the club, right? What's your name?
Adele.
So, what is it about this club that you think is so great, and how have you been able to help people?
I really like how, we get to, find out some, really good foods to eat. So, I'm in a lot of sports as well. So, it's nice to know what to be able to, have something good to eat.
And what do you play?
I'm in basketball, softball, soccer, cross country, and track.
Okay, then. All right. You're quite the star, right? Are you going to continue playing all through high school?
Yeah, I really like sports.
Oh, good for you. I appreciate that. All right. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate that. And let's take a moment and meet Ashley, who kind of runs the cafeteria here. Ashley, how long have you been doing this?
This is my third year, Kevin.
All right. What kind of got you into this? Where'd you go to school originally, and you know, how you ended up in this position?
Well, a funny story. I did hair for 18 years, and I started subbing in the cafeteria about 5 years ago, and this just kind of led to that position, and it's where life's taking me right now.
So, for you, what time does your day begin? You know, to get in here and get all this done.
So I have cooks that come in. Coldwater has five wonderful cooks. The first head cook comes in around 6:20, and she leaves around 1:20. Everybody else kind of dwindles in after that. I come in around 7:45. Sometimes I'll come in early. Sometimes I'll stay later than what I usually do. But, yeah, it's a full day, and it's busy
like
all the
it.
Time.
And we should also mention, too, soon, or you'll let me know when, but I understand new ovens are coming, right? Pretty big deal.
Yeah. Our district is continuing to grow, so it's important that the kitchen and its operations expand accordingly to meet those needs with our incoming larger classes. So we have 3 stackable ovens right now, and they are probably 20 years old, and we also have 2 stackable steamers. So we're kind of replacing the 2 stackable steamers, and we're getting combi ovens. Getting rid of the old ovens, and these new combi ovens kind of steam convection all in one, so it kind of eliminates, it gives us some space back a little bit. So with these incoming numbers, we need as much space as we can without doing a big renovation or construction. So it's going to be good, I think.
Yeah, it's sometimes, you know, it's easy to get comfortable, I'm sure, with what you have, but sometimes you have to have a little faith that the next thing is going to be better, right?
Yep. Try to find new options, and I think it's going to be good. I think our numbers, our participation numbers will increase a little bit. So food comes out completely different. It's a lot more presentable out of these combis. So I'm anxious. I know the cooks are anxious. We're excited for next year.
I can imagine. Also, should mention, all the food. I mean, it's kind of like it's approved, if you would. There's guidelines you have to follow, right?
Yeah, we have to follow strict guidelines. So on our main line, we probably offer 30 different meals, and that's rotated with a 5-week cycle. On our salad bar line, she probably has 20-plus different meals. So the kids get a good variety of options. We used to have a 7-week cycle, and I cut it back to 5. And try to get more of the meals that the kids like more often. So I think they're liking it.
Seems like it. I have never seen anyone in a bad mood in the cafeteria in terms that we've been here. So that's good to know. Right?
That's supposed to be the best time of the day.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to make sure we got everybody a chance. Now, the young man you brought here, did he want to talk today?
Did you want to talk, Mr. Williams? Do you want to talk about the Healthy Snack Club?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Garrett Williams.
Garrett, okay, because I didn't want you left out, right? What do you enjoy about the Healthy Snack Club?
The food.
The food. Oh, that's a good thing that you enjoy the healthy food. What are some of your favorite healthy snacks?
Apple donuts and Ants on the Log.
Okay, Ants on the Log. Tell us what that's about, what that is.
It's where you cut up celery into like 2 or 3 inch pieces and then fill the center with peanut butter and then put raisins in the middle, inside the peanut butter.
Okay, that sounds better than Ants on the Log. I like that name, though. It's certainly clever. So good for you. And I'm sure also, Ashley will tell us this as well, that you have some kind of like treat kind of things that are on the menu. But overall, it seems to fit in good. That you're encouraging them, balance it out, right?
Yeah, that's one thing I told them. I gave them some different options to choose for their healthy snack cart that they're wanting to implement here at Coldwater. And I said, if you guys want to try new things, let me know how the students like them, and then we can kind of maybe put them on our menu if they comply with all of our guidelines and stuff. So the kids can get them both on snack cart and at lunchtime.
There you have it. And I think also, the health teachers, et cetera, probably have your back on this, where you kind of remind them that, you know, it might be tempting to have something sweet for lunch, but that's going to get you later. You're going to be tired. You're probably going to be hungrier than you would have been, right?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I get an ice cream, I always crash during science class.
Yeah, see, that's what it's about. And so sometimes you find out that they're really not just trying to give you a hard time. They're trying to teach you about nutrition, right?
Yeah.
Yep, and that's true. I mean, protein obviously will help you feel full. Carbs will give you some energy, right?
Yeah, carbs will keep you full and energized.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to drink? Are you a water guy, a juice guy?
Yeah, ever since the cross-country season started, I've been getting water every day so I can bring it to practice.
Yeah, that really is the important thing to drink. And as far as what you have here, Ashley, obviously from here I see milk. I see that. What else?
We have two different flavors of milk that we offer. We have water, and we have 100% fruit juice, grape juice, and apple juice. And then the cafeteria does take part control of the vending. So we do some Propel in there and some sparkling waters. So the kids get some good, healthy options.
Yeah, you know, and this is good because I know there was a time, I can remember this growing up, that we had pop machines in school, right? I mean, we've all kind of gotten a little better, right?
Yes, for sure. And that's one thing I talk to these kids about in the seventh grade. Your body can notice a difference after eating bad snacks. So you want to fuel your body. You won't have those crashes midday or after lunch, like Mr. Williams said here. So I'm glad you listened that day.
And for you also, the fun in your job, I'm sure it's seeing these happy kids, seeing them every day, right? I can see where this job, it's a lot of work, but you got it down to like a finely tuned machine, how you rotate in one group, here comes another, you all clean it up real quick, you know.
Yeah. I talked to a little kindergartner this morning. We have taco chips and cheese and beef and refried beans and cheese, and she wasn't really touching the refried beans. I'm like, I bet if you mix that taco meat in with your refried beans and cheese and dip it with your chips, it's gonna taste really good. And she tried it and she loved it. So
I still do that trick sometimes. That's how I get some of my veggies in.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
And so out of all the things that you sell, does the famous school cafeteria pizza, whatever, still reign supreme? Is that still number one?
Oh, yeah. That's hot up there. Yep, for sure. That and hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with hot dogs.
Yep.
When you make those pizzas, do they come in already made, or do you go from scratch? How's that work?
Yeah, they do come in already made. So the hardest part, I think, is breaking those pizzas apart. they're frozen, obviously, when we get them. So your hands and your arms definitely get a workout.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Yep.
Dame, thanks so much for coming. We appreciate getting to meet you and getting in. What did we talk about? 5 students, I think,
when all said and done. Thanks for having us all.
And we're not done yet. We're going to come back. Mr. Hemmelgarn will be here. He's got Caden with him. Again, I want to thank also Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf, Lodox Jewelry, and Cal Pharmacy. We'll continue here on 96.7
buddy.
The Wave.
You did good.
So it's back to school here at Coldwater, live from the cafeteria. I want to thank Rich Plumbing, Enyard Interior Touch, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, and Kalp Pharmacy. In a moment, we're going to talk to high school principal Jason Hemmelgarn, but right now I first want to welcome back a gentleman, Caden, you know, who was here earlier, Caden Sager, who was on to talk about Ethics Bowl, right? I think that was Monday.
Yes, on Monday.
On Monday. And you wanted to come back on and talk about being in the band, of which you guys just had a pretty awesome performance here in the cafeteria. Can you share with us what your band experience is like?
I've been in it all 4 years of high school. To be honest, band teaches a lot more than a lot of people would think. It's a different type of dedication. A majority of us in band have extracurriculars outside of sports. And I'm by extracurriculars, I mean jobs. And it's a different type of, teaches you a different type of work ethic because you really do have to practice this. There's other clubs and sports where you can just kind of go in and you don't have to do much preparation. But for band, we're not many bands like Coldwater don't use flip folders, which is what holds our music. Coldwater doesn't use flip folders. That's one thing we do pride ourselves on. We memorize all our music. We I don't think there's a single person in the stands or on the field that has to use a foot folder, and that is another type of dedication. And when you are constantly at those practices, and we only have maybe two practices a week, and that is nowhere near enough time to get that music memorized, so we have to practice outside on our own.
What do you play?
I play the tuba and concert band, which the marching tuba is called the sousaphone.
Excellent. I'll tell you what, that's a wonderful instrument, a big tuba.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
We will hear you when you're playing. You will stand out. So,
oh, I hope so.
What made you pick the tuba?
Well, I originally started off in middle school playing the saxophone. I still love the saxophone. I wanted something with a little bit more of a voice, so I chose the tuba. It's the lowest sounding instrument, and you can usually hear the tuba above everything else. And the tuba kind of keeps the, it's not the main beat for the band, but if the low section, the tubas and bari saxes, if they're off and the percussion's off, the whole band might as well just go off the rails. And I chose tuba just because it's more of a lead role. It helps the band stay together.
I was going to say, and everybody thanks you for not going off the rails, right? what drew you to the band in the first place?
Mainly my older siblings being in it and seeing them march the halls. That's what really drew me into it. I just wanted to be one of the marching cavaliers, as they call them. And starting in middle school, it wasn't the glamorous marching band, but if you're willing to stick through those 4 years, it's well worth the work you put in once you get into high school and you get to be on that field and you get to hear the crowd cheering for you.
Yeah, it's not the same. No game is the same without the band.
No. And I kind of reference this back to during COVID times when the NFL had no fans. You don't have anybody cheering for you. You don't have anybody watching. You're just playing the game. And not saying that you can still play football without a band, but with the band there, it's a different level of competition, I'd say.
Yeah.
You have the band cheering them on, even when we're down by a certain number of points, that can get the team fired back up. That can get us to fight again.
So you would suggest to anybody listening, maybe they're younger, to go for it. Be in the band someday,
yes,
right?
Be in the band. We have multiple players that are in football, and they're still in band every day.
Those are the ones that sometimes they skip getting yelled at halftime, right? They have to come out and play and then come back.
Yeah.
And so pretty neat. Good to see you again. Okay,
nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Hemmelgarn, for you, how many years have you been principal now?
Let's see. I believe this is number 13.
13. And, obviously one of the benefits or, job satisfaction things for you is that you get to meet, fine young people like Caden, right? Like, you've had him for a long time. He's getting ready to leave, right? And you kind of have that satisfaction of knowing that you had a hand in their life, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, we're so blessed and fortunate to have great kids coming from great families. And Mr. Ruttman's our band director, and he allows us to have crazy ideas like playing it during the lunchtime and get the kids all whooped up before we send them back to class. So, yeah, I mean, it makes it work because we have such great kids like Caden that do all the stuff around here that needs to be done.
And for you, when you look back on those 13 years, how long have you been in education also altogether?
This is number 34.
So what are some of the other positions you've had before a principal?
Let's see. I've been an athletic director a couple of different places, Houston High School, Parkway. I've been a math teacher, a longtime math teacher, different levels, coached a lot of different sports, and then became the principal here and back 13 years ago or so.
And for you, what got you into education in the first place?
You know, I mean, even when I have flashbacks to being a young kid, and I started kindergarten here in 1975, and I don't remember specifically then, but throughout my younger years, middle school, I just really liked the school environment. Feels comfortable to me. I had a couple teachers in high school that saw something in me that they thought I should maybe pursue that. Gene Weber, Mr. Weber was a teacher of mine, and some other teachers, so I just really like being around this type of thing.
So you were born in 71, probably, right?
Well, no, actually 69, late 69. 69.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I knew we were about that same age. Yeah, good for you. What's neat about that, too, is you're still going. You're still enjoying this.
Yeah, I feel pretty refreshed. I'm retired technically, but that doesn't have anything other than just quotes around it. You know how that goes.
So sure.
It still feels really refreshing to come in here and interact with kids like Caden and everything else we do, because for a small school, really proud of all the things that we have going on here.
Good point.
So it's amazing what we have available.
That's true. And how much it's changed for them over the years,
yeah,
too. So
much.
Many great opportunities now.
Really is.
And so we can also, you know, for you as being a principal, when you get these high schoolers, they're a little bit older now, a little more mature. They're still very much teenagers, I understand. But I'm sure a lot of them, you know, they're really starting to think about the future, right? It's much different than, say, middle school, right?
Absolutely. You know, the high school, you try to give them some freedoms. They earn a lot of freedoms, and they get them taken away if that's necessary. We don't have a lot of that. What I guess for me personally, one of the things that I really look at a lot is our participation rate. As Kaden mentioned, you know, we got extracurriculars, ethics bowl, and drama club, and all the different things, FTC and the arts, and ag program, and scholastic bowl, and esports. We even have a crochet club going on here. And it doesn't work if the kids aren't willing to participate. So we're like around a 93.5% participation rate outside of the school day, which I think is amazing.
That is neat. And I'm sure one of the things we hear that kind of gets, you know, pounded over and over again, reminded that this is your time to do this. Once you grow up and you have that career and, you know, and family, and you don't have time to be playing all these sports and things. You do it now, right?
Yeah, your window closes pretty quick. People
yes,
don't
it
realize it, but it closes quick. And I guess probably ultimately the thing that makes me feel the best about Coulter High School is how many graduates have come back and have told me personally how much they want to raise their family here, their kids to come here. We have a great turnover of generations of families, and I think that's why we're just always so successful in so many things.
That's true, and not just that, but they don't want to get in trouble because it may turn out Mr. Himmelgarn might know their parents, right?
Unfortunately, that's becoming the case, and sometimes even grandparents, I think, anymore.
Oh, I can imagine.
That's all good.
You know, what's also, I'm sure you get the community support. I mean, if a kid gets in trouble, the parents are, they're not against you. They'll say, okay, what can we do to help, right?
Right, absolutely. And if you have enough relationships with enough people, they know where you're coming from. They know you care. They know that you're honest with them in the situation, then it always has a way of working itself out. Nobody's perfect. We all try to do the best we can. We have great teacher staff. I mean, you know, everything from our advisors, our coaches, the custodial staff, the lunch ladies. We just talked to Ashley, the bus drivers. We just have so many good people doing their best to make it nice for the kids. And again, doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means that you care and you try to make it as nice as you can make it for everybody.
That's for sure. And also, I'm sure that sometimes you work on both ends of the scale. The freshmen that are still learning high school, that's kind of stressful. The senior, though, that's realizing, hey, I'm really done with school soon. I'm stressed out, right? I mean, you work with them, right?
100%. We actually make it a point to talk to our younger kids, freshmen, sophomores, to really pay attention to our seniors because they've seen it now for three-plus years. They know how to do it. You know, watch what they do. They're typically really good role models. And so if we can keep perpetuating what seniors do every year, then it's nothing but good things every year we turn over.
There you go. And of course, there's the very real senioritis. Sometimes you have to remind them. I know you can't wait to graduate, but hey, quit phoning it in. You got to do this, right?
Well, that is true. I mean, it does get difficult down the stretch, even for some of us adults once in a while, but that's why I'm kind of always a fan of the weather being like 38 degrees up until May. No, I'm just kidding. But it sets in, but they always handle it the right way, and we try really hard not to cross that line. You know what I mean?
That's
so it's
right.
Been good.
And again, I remember what Mr. Mader said. You know, you're preparing good citizens. It's not just about a nice grade point average. It's more than that.
It truly is. And you can speak a lot of words and say all the right things, but sometimes you got to live your life and model it yourself. And that's our job as adults to do that.
I'll tell you what, it's too quiet in here now. They do that
bizarre.
To us. It's
my ears are still ringing from the band coming through here.
When it gets this quiet, I think, what'd I do?
Yeah, I think she's yelling at you. I'm not sure.
But I want to thank you. How appropriate to close it out with you. We see you every day. We enjoy talking to you. And finally, we get you on the air. And and you know, just a pleasure to thank you for coming, and certainly Mr. Mater, everybody. We're always so welcomed, you know?
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. I saw you had a lot of great groups in front of me. I'm sorry you had to end it with this one, but no, I'm just kidding.
We got
to
end it on a good note.
But yeah, they always put the fastest guy at the anchor, that's what I heard. So no, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you coming in again this year, and you know, maybe we'll see you do this again.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Awesome.
And I want to also take a moment and thank